thank you so much for having me here today. It's such a joy to join with you for the service. I've only been to the Isle of Wight once before today, so it's really lovely to come over here from Southampton this morning to share with you, and it's been such a lovely service, so thank you for your warm welcome. So this morning I thought I'd start off by giving a little bit of an explanation about what leprosy is. I'm not sure if everybody knows a lot about leprosy. So what I thought we'd do is we'd do a little bit of a quiz. And it's a true or false quiz, so you know, you've got a 50-50 chance of being right if you don't know the answer, so you can guess. So I'm going to say a few statements, and I want you to put your hand up if you think it's true or false. So the first statement is, leprosy is highly contagious. Do we think that's true? Put your hand up if you think it's true. Okay, couple of people. Put your hand up if you think it's false. Yeah, a few people unsure maybe. Well, that's actually false. Leprosy is a mildly contagious disease. And that means that actually you have to live with somebody for a very long time and be in very close proximity with somebody to be able to catch leprosy. And it's airborne, so in water droplets, a little bit like COVID. A lot of people believe that leprosy is caught by touch and touching one another, but actually it's airborne. It's quite interesting. So again, put your hand up if you think anyone can catch leprosy. So is that true or false? Anyone can catch leprosy. True? Okay. And false? More people for true. Well, the people that put your hand up for false are correct. Not anyone can catch leprosy. In fact, 95% of the global human population are naturally immune to leprosy. And that's because leprosy is a disease that is caught when you have a very, very low immune system. And so here in the UK, we will have grown up with clean drinking water, good healthcare system, good housing, access to all the medical support that we might need. And so all of us will have a high enough immune system that if we meet someone who has leprosy, we wouldn't be able to catch it. And that really, really sticks out in my mind as quite a poignant fact, actually, because it means that the people who have the lowest immune system, meaning the poorest people in the poorest countries in the world, are the ones that can catch leprosy. And that means that leprosy is a disease that discriminates against the poorest people in the world, which is really sad. Another statement, which is this true or false? There are around 50 laws in the world that discriminate against people who have leprosy. Put your hand up if you think that's true. There are 50 laws that discriminate. Put your hand up if you think that's false. No one thinks that's false. Well, one person up there. Well, it is indeed false. You are correct. Very sadly, there are actually more than 100 laws currently in the world that discriminate against people who are affected by leprosy. Leprosy is a disease that is highly stigmatized, which means that communities, particularly in countries like India, reject people affected by leprosy from their communities. People with leprosy are often isolated, rejected. People don't want to go near them because they believe that they can catch it through touch. As you can imagine, that is incredibly isolating, and it can lead to really big mental health problems as well. Finally, put your hand up if you think it's true that leprosy can make your arms and legs fall off. One person, a couple of people up there, okay. Put your hand up if you think that's false. Okay, well, it is actually false. So leprosy affects the nerves, the nerve endings, particularly in your hands and feet. And so often you'll see people affected by leprosy who have had to have their limbs amputated. So that was a bit of a trick question. So what happens is if you get nerve damage to your hands or your feet, it means that you're not actually able to feel things. So for example, if you were doing some cooking and you touched a hot pan and you burnt yourself, you may not actually be able to feel that burn. And so that means that, you know, you may not tend to the wound immediately. It could become infected. And to prevent that infection spreading, people end up having to have their fingers, toes, even arms, hands or even arms or legs amputated because of their leprosy. But none of this has to happen because leprosy is curable. And if you get the cure soon enough, you won't sustain permanent nerve damage to your arms or your legs. And so that's why the leprosy mission works in countries in Africa and Asia particularly, to find and cure as many people affected by leprosy as soon as possible so that they don't sustain that permanent damage. And I'd like to tell you the story of a young man who, unfortunately, he caught leprosy when he was 4 years old. So this is Santosh. So Santosh caught leprosy at four, but really sadly, he didn't get a diagnosis of his leprosy until he was a teenager. And by that time, he sustained such bad nerve damage to his feet that he had severe ulcers. And at the age of 18, he'd had to have both of his legs amputated because of his leprosy. He told my colleagues, "I'm now thinking I will be entirely dependent on others. I despair about my future. I feel devastated." How sad is that? An 18-year-old young man with his whole life ahead of him, despairing for his future because of a preventable disease. Well, the good news is that Santosh came to a Nandiban hospital, and I didn't mention earlier, but Santosh lives in Nepal. And in Nepal is our Anandaban Hospital, which is a wonderful place where people can come and find hope and support again. And so Santosh came along to Anandaban. He received the cure. He received some mental health counselling to help him to restore his hope. And he was given a pair of prosthetic legs. And I just want to show you a really amazing video where Santosh walks for the very first time. And I hope you'll find this really, really inspiring. And some further good news for Santosh is that my colleague, so that was taken a couple of years ago, and my colleague went out and met Santosh last year. And since then, Santosh has been supplied with an adapted scooter, which means that he's actually able to have mobility around his village. He's able to actually provide for his family. And the other lovely news is that Santosh has married, and he and his wife have had a beautiful baby girl. And Santosh's face just lights up whenever he looks at his daughter. Isn't it so wonderful to see this teenage boy with no hope for the future blossom into this young man who has all the hope because he's got this beautiful baby girl and this whole new life ahead of him? And that's just one of the things that the leprosy mission is able to do because of the support of amazing people like yourselves. So I just want to say a really big thank you for all of your support. 70 years, you said. Isn't that such an amazing amount of time for you to have been supporting the leprosy mission? So thank you to all of you for your love and your prayers. I'd like to read our Bible reading for today, which is Genesis 16. The story of Hagar and Ishmael. And it's on page 16 of the Bibles, if you want to have a look at that as well. "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, 'The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her.' Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, 'You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows that she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. Your slave is in your hands, Abram said. Do with her whatever you think best. Then Sarai ill-treated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near the spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from, and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now pregnant and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility towards all his brothers. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me, she said. I have now seen the one who sees me. That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. I wonder whether you can think back to an embarrassing moment in your life. I have countless that I could tell. It may or may not be hard to believe, but I was actually quite an awkward teenager. I was extremely shy, very self-conscious, and quite intimidated by a lot of my peers. So walking into a room full of people was really daunting for me. And I remember one day I walked into the cafeteria at school and a popular girl waved at me. I was quite surprised and happy, so I waved back quite exuberantly. And I started walking over to her table, but quickly realised that she was actually waving at someone who'd walked in behind me. And it was quite an awkward and an embarrassing moment. I felt quite mortified. But I also remember feeling like I'd been invisible to this girl. I was unseen. I was ignored. That was just one embarrassing experience that thankfully I've just about recovered from. But around the world, there are people spending their lives hidden from view, living in the shadows. People who feel ignored, excluded, and hopeless, all because of a curable infection. Leprosy. As we said earlier, there's so much stigma around leprosy, fear surrounds it, causing people to hide away, not wanting to come forward to be diagnosed. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people affected by leprosy didn't live in fear? How life-changing would it be if they could feel seen, understood, and loved? In our passage from Genesis today, we see that change happened for Hagar. The context of the passage is that God had appeared to Abram and made a covenant with him, promising him that he would receive land, will have many descendants, and will experience blessing with God. But Abraham and his wife, Sarai, made a series of really bad choices, ultimately, because they didn't trust in God's goodness to fulfill his promises. They grow impatient with God, and Sarai goes as far as to say, "The Lord has kept me from having children." So she and Abram take the situation into their own hands. Did you spot the series of bad choices? Let's recap. Bad choice number one. Sarai sows the seed of a suggestion in Abram's head, telling him to sleep with her servant, Hagar, so that they can have an heir. This was common practice in the ancient Near East at the time, but it was not God's design for Abram and Sarai. So there comes bad choice number two. Abram takes Sarai's advice, and Hagar becomes pregnant. Now that Hagar is pregnant, she starts to look down on Sarai, and Sarai just can't take it anymore. She blames Abram, who makes bad choice number 3. And he tells her, "Your slave is in your hands. Do with her whatever you think best." Abram gives up all responsibility. He basically throws his hands up in the air and says, "It's up to you to deal with this." And this opens the door to bad choice number 4. Sarai treats Hagar so badly that she runs away. What a mess! Abram and Sarai can only think of what they want, a son and an heir. And they treat Hagar as a means to an end. It's as if they don't even see her. They don't recognize her value as a person made in God's image. At the end of verse 6, it seems like Hagar has hit rock bottom. Can you imagine how lonely and scared she must have felt? How on earth was she meant to raise a child without any money or support? I'd like to introduce you to this young woman whose name is Rajisha. Rajisha lives in India, and she knows what it can feel like to hit rock bottom. A while ago, Rajisha was diagnosed with leprosy. She'd heard of leprosy, but it was always spoken of in hushed tones. And when she started on her medication to cure the leprosy that she had, the damage had already been done to the nerves in her body. Another thing that leprosy does is it can claw your fingers so that they become stiff and you can't move them. And this happened to Rajisha. The claws on both of the fingers on both of her hands became so clawed that she couldn't even feed herself. She became withdrawn and depressed. Would she ever be able to use her hands again? How was she to find any hope for the future? If Rajisha's story had ended there, how sad that would have been. But thankfully it doesn't, and we'll hear more about that later, but first we return to Hagar. So here's another embarrassing story from my youth. When I was very little, I believed that if I can't see you, then you can't see me. I would cover my eyes and go, "You can't see me!" And as I got older, I understood that this was not the best way to do well at a game of hide and seek. Hagar must have felt that nobody could see her, that no one cared for her, that God wasn't even seeing her because she couldn't see God. But the truth is, God did see her and was looking after her all along. At the point of her greatest despair, Hagar had an amazing encounter with God. Looking back at verse 7, the angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. The word in Hebrew for angel can also be translated as messenger. It could well have been an angel, but the writer wants us to be clear that this mysterious figure is God's messenger and representative, speaking God's words to Hagar. And Hagar herself says it is the Lord who spoke to her. The angel promises Hagar that she will have descendants too numerous to count, just like the promise that God made to Abraham. The angel tells Hagar to name her son Ishmael, which means God hears. God has heard her cries of anguish and has sent his representative to her to remind her that he sees, hears, and loves her. Hagar calls the Lord El Roy, which means the God who sees me. God didn't just see her passively from a distance. When Hagar says, "I have now seen the one who sees me," this could just as well be translated as, "I have now seen the one who looks after me." God never stopped looking after Hagar. And she names the well Beer Lahai Roy, which means well of the living one who sees me. And she recognizes God as the living one, the one who is present and active in the world and in her life. Thousands of years later, the Apostle John had a vision of Jesus returning to earth in glory and power. In the vision, Jesus says, "I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever." That's in Revelations 1, verse 18. This vision provided encouragement to the churches that Jesus is alive. He is the living one who is present with his people today. He knows your needs and he looks after you. He gives strength for today, even when it can be hard to know the right thing to do. And it must have been hard for Hagar to obey God and go back to Sarai and submit to her. But now she knew that God was looking after her. He gave her strength. At the end of the passage, we hear that Abraham gives the boy the name Ishmael, symbolizing that he acknowledges Ishmael as his son and heir. And of course, we know that if we read on in Genesis, God provides an heir according to his promise, Isaac, an ancestor of Jesus. But Ishmael will share in Abraham's inheritance. God has remembered Hagar and heard her cries. How good it must have felt to know that God had seen her. Rajisha has experienced God's kindness in her life too. A doctor visiting her village told her to visit the leprosy mission's Muzaffarpur hospital. When she arrived, she faced a really long and anxious wait outside a crumbling outpatients building in the oppressive heat because there was nowhere to sit inside. But after many hours, a kind doctor tended to her needs and admitted her onto the ward. Rajisha felt seen. And at that point, her life started to turn around. She has had reconstructive surgery on her right hand to straighten her fingers. Rajisha wants to be a nurse when she grows up, so that she can serve others in the way that she was supported when she was so sad. Rajisha is a Christian, and she enjoys going to the chapel services at the hospital, and says being there has given her hope. She also loves writing, and while someone from our team was talking to her, she took out a pen and paper, and with the wrong hand, with her left hand, she wrote down a Bible verse that she has learnt. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Have you ever been tempted to think that God doesn't see you? Or that even if he did, he wouldn't be interested in you. He wouldn't care about you. God cares about you so much that he sent Jesus in your place, so that you know that you are seen for all eternity. You don't have to live trying to seek the approval of others because you are already seen and loved by God. Knowing that you are seen and loved, don't you long, like me, for people affected by leprosy to know that they are seen too? There are many more people like Rajisha with leprosy living in the shadows, longing to be seen, and Muzaffarpur Hospital in India is a beacon of light for them. More than 600 people come to our outpatients department there, known as an OPD, every day, knowing that this is their only chance to see a doctor. But the OPD is dilapidated and threatens the very existence of the hospital. It's on low-lying lands and floods easily, particularly in recent years due to climate change. The conditions are just not great. You can see from that picture, there's a lot of work that's needed. But the doctors and nurses work tirelessly to show the patients that God sees, knows, and cares for them. And nobody is ever turned away. The OPD must be replaced so that the team can continue to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and provide healing to people affected by leprosy. There is no other place in the region for people affected by leprosy to have free treatment and loving care in their greatest hour of need. We're going to watch a film now, and you'll hear how your kindness today can help to build this new outpatients department. Will you follow in the footsteps of Jesus by bringing people with leprosy out of the shadows and into the light? One way that you can partner with people affected by leprosy is by praying regularly. Isn't it amazing that God sees our needs, hears our prayers, and acts in his world for our good? I've got a resource table at the back, and I've brought along some prayer diaries which have suggestions of things to pray for the leprosy mission throughout the year. I'd love to invite you to pick one of these up at the end of the service and pray with me for people affected by leprosy like Reducia. And for those of you watching online, lots of prayer resources that you can download on the website leprosymission.org.uk. And if you feel called to today, I'd love to invite you to give what you can to build this new outpatients building in Muzaffarpur Hospital. Most people like to give through direct debit to the leprosy mission, and just £6 a month will cure 3 people of leprosy. Or if you would like to give today, you're very welcome to. I've got a bowl at the back for any cash donations, but I've also brought my very handy card machine, which is always helpful when people don't carry cash nowadays. And as it said in the video, £36 would provide 1 ton of bricks for this new outpatients department. You can literally put bricks in this building and build a lasting legacy for people affected by leprosy. Any contribution, big or small, will have a huge impact on people affected by leprosy in Muzaffarpur and across the world. Thank you so much for listening and for your amazing kindness in enabling people like Reducia to feel seen, valued and loved at Muzaffarpur Hospital for many years to come. I'd love to end our service today with a prayer. Loving God, we thank you that you are the living one who sees us. Not one of us goes unnoticed or forgotten by you. Thank you for your amazing love. And we pray for people affected by leprosy. We thank you for the love and support that Reducia has found at Muzaffarpur Hospital. And we pray for her quick recovery. We pray that the funds needed to build this new OPD will be found quickly, so that the hospital can continue to provide the amazing care that they give to people affected by leprosy, making sure that no person is left unseen. In your precious name, amen. As we bring our service to close, I'm going to say a word of blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And Lord, I pray that you will send us out in the power of your Spirit now to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen.